With Radio On The Go News, I'm Brian Fancher reporting. A wind chill advisory remains in effect for the Radio On The Go broadcast area from 6 o'clock tonight until 11 o'clock Wednesday morning. Expect wind chills to be as low as 35 degrees below zero. This afternoon, the Iowa Department of Transportation is reporting that Interstate 35 and Highway 65, 18, 69, 3, 14, 218, 57, 188, and 20 are all partially covered with snow. For the latest on Iowa road conditions, go to radioonthego.com. Look under the weather tab. The Hampton Police Department Saturday morning arrested 22-year-old Nolan Hoyt of Ackley for second-degree theft. Hoyt was later released from custody. Yesterday morning, the Hardin County Sheriff's Department arrested 39-year-old Justin Bittner of Iowa Falls on two Osage warrants for driving while suspended and for fifth-degree theft. Bittner is being held at the Hardin County Jail. Saturday night, the Hardin County Sheriff's Department transported from Cerro Gordo County 46-year-old Norman Coles from the state of Minnesota, who was wanted on a Hardin County warrant for second-degree theft. Coles is being held at the Hardin County Jail. Saturday night, the Hardin County Sheriff's Department arrested 46-year-old Clifford Mentir of Steamboat Rock for driving while barred. Mentir was later released from custody. Yesterday, about 8:35 a.m., the Clear Lake Police Department called out on the report of a robbery at the Casey store along Highway 18 north of the Surf Ballroom. No injuries reported. Store employees told officers that an unknown male entered the business and demanded money from the clerk. The male then grabbed the cash register and fled on foot from the scene. No weapons were displayed. Investigators believe the person left the Clear Lake area and poses no immediate threat to the community. The incident remains under investigation. The Cerro Gordo County Sheriff's Department and Iowa State Patrol assisted at the scene. State Republican Senator Dennis Guth of Clemmy tells Radio On The Go News he hopes lawmakers will act on what he considers to be important legislation this session.
Focus on preserving some of our liberties. During the COVID-19 pandemic, we've seen a lot of those liberties restricted, and I'd like to make sure that we don't do more of that. I don't believe that most of it helps anything. I am promoting the things that would reinstall our liberties. And again, I am trying to push religious liberty bill that will help make sure that we don't close churches when we have casinos open. We need to make sure that we keep all of that. And we didn't really do that in Iowa, but in other states they did. I just want to make sure that we keep that.
Guth says he supports revamping the state's tax code.
We don't want to just say, well, we have money and we're going to expand programs. That gets us in trouble down the road. And we also don't want to just write out a check to the citizens and refund their money, because that's a one-time shot. And what we want to do is use that for a permanent reduction in taxes. And I think reducing the income tax is something that's very important, especially as we try to compete with other states that have no income tax. And we see retired people in the state of Iowa say, you know, let's move to another state where they don't have income tax. Gives us the opportunity to compete that way in keeping people here in Iowa.
Guth represents Iowa Senate District 4, which includes Wright and Hancock counties in the broadcast area. Greenbelt Home Care in Hardin County reported in the past week there were 233 additional positive COVID-19 cases in the county and one additional COVID-19-related death. Now, beginning today, due to a shortage of rapid COVID-19 tests, Greenbelt Home Care will no longer be offering rapid COVID-19 testing through their office. However, Greenbelt will still be distributing the Test Iowa at-home test kits. Test results for the Test Iowa kits should be available within 24 hours after email confirmation that the lab has received the kit, but due to high demand, results may take longer. Iowa's record 2021 corn harvest led to a significant increase in traffic on the rail lines that run through Iowa.
The carloads of grain in 2021 were the most since 2008. This is mostly due to the high volumes that were being exported. That's a great bright spot for our state here in Iowa.
That's Iowa Department of Transportation Director Scott Marler, who says railroad traffic nationwide increased 7% in 2021, but has not rebounded to pre-pandemic levels. Marler says the volume of cars and trucks on Iowa streets and highways dropped over 40% at the beginning of the pandemic.
Our traffic levels are pretty much back to pre-pandemic levels, but they're different than what they used to be. And let me explain that a minute. In our cities and urban areas, we're still seeing a slightly depressed amount of traffic volumes. We think this might be one of the trends from teleworking that we hear a lot about. In our rural areas, by contrast, our traffic volumes are actually a little higher than pre-pandemic levels.
Marler says it's likely because of the high volume of trucks carrying freight on Iowa's highways and interstates. Passenger traffic at Iowa airports that offer commercial flights dropped significantly during the first year of the pandemic, and Marler says it's bouncing back.
We're not back to pre-pandemic levels with passenger counts at our 8 commercial service airports, but we're close, within about 10 to 15% of pre-pandemic levels.
That's Iowa DOT Director Scott Marler. Last week, Iowa Governor Kim Reynolds and the Iowa Economic Development Authority announced more than $500,000 in grant funding will be awarded to rural communities across the state through the Governor's Empower Rural Iowa Initiative. The Governor's Initiative covers such areas as expanding access to quality housing and overcoming rural community development challenges. In the broadcast area, a $1,000 Rural Leadership Boot Camp grant will be used for a leadership program in Franklin County. The head of Iowa's largest agricultural organization is urging state lawmakers to reconsider a measure which would mandate the use of renewable fuels in Iowa that are produced in-state. Iowa Farm Bureau President Brent Johnson says the Iowa biofuel standard was nearly defeated in the legislature last year.
To implement a biofuel ethanol standard within Iowa is certainly something that we supported last year, to make sure that Iowa's fuel sources do contain Iowa-grown products, both on the gasoline side as well as the biodiesel side.
He says the organization has some work to do to rebuild consumer support and to get the legislative backing needed for the mandate to pass. Johnson's also urging the EPA to uphold the Renewable Fuel Standard, RVO, or Renewable Volume Obligation Levels, after reports the Biden administration may drop the proposed blending levels below 15 billion gallons.
That's been eroded over the last few years, so we need to make sure that we hold that together so that our producers understand that that market is there and solid and willing to move forward.
Johnson says the Farm Bureau supports Governor Reynolds' move asking the EPA to provide a waiver to sell E15 year-round in Iowa. Today, the Hampton City Council will hold a budget workshop meeting. We'll meet with Amanda Fender to discuss dog park fundraising donations. The Hampton Council will also continue to review the proposed next fiscal year city budget. The Hampton City budget, the Hampton City Council budget workshop meeting is today at 6 p.m. at City Hall. Today, the Allison City Council will hold a public hearing on an ordinance regarding special permits issued by the city and fees associated with them. The council will then hold the first reading of said ordinance. The Allison City Council meets today, 5:45 p.m. at the council chambers. Saturday, the Franklin County Coaches versus Cancer event was held as Hampton Dumont Cal took on West Fork in basketball in Sheffield. Funds were raised through suppers, a bucket run, silent auction, sponsorships, and T-shirt sales. More money is expected to come in, but so far, $8,066.03 has been raised. Iowa State University Extension and Outreach will be holding what's being called Planter University at 5 locations around the state next month. ISU Extension field agronomist Angie Rekins tells Radio On The Go News the programs will run each day from 9 a.m. until 2:30 p.m.
Our workshops are going to be very, what we call, color neutral. So we're not looking at a specific type of planter, like a John Deere versus a Kinsey, but help the people to understand all the parameters and what you see on your monitors when you're working with your planter. High tech, this is high speed. These are conventional planters. These are no-till planters. This is all over the board, and it's designed to make your time in that planter more efficient, and it's designed to give us the best output ever from a crop standpoint in terms of even planting, even a emergence, and managing that planter really can help us add bushels in our field.
The closest Planter University will be held at the Iowa State University Northeast Research Farm in the Nashua area on February 8th. The registration deadline, February 1st. For more information, contact your county extension office. And today's guest on the Radio On The Go Newsmaker program is family nurse practitioner Mary O'Connor, who will discuss the signs and symptoms of frostbite and hypothermia and on ways to treat them. The Radio On The Go Newsmaker program airs weekdays during the noon hour on KLMJ, with archive programs available under the News tab at RadioOnTheGo.com. For Radio On The Go News, Brian Fincher reporting.